Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 28, Existential Ecstatic Love. When a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna, in a direct relationship with Krishna, or even a little apart from Krishna, then one status is called existential ecstatic love. The symptoms originating from such existential ecstatic love are divided into three headings: moist, burnt, dried up. Moist existential ecstatic love aroused in connection with Krishna is divided into two, direct and indirect. Radharani was once weaving a garland of Kunda flowers, and upon hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, Radha immediately stopped her work. This is an example of direct, moistened existential ecstatic love. Indirect, moistened existential ecstatic love is described in the following statement. Krishna, who is also called Purushottama, is to the eyes of Mother Yashoda just like the cloud is to the eyes of the Chatiki bird. When Krishna had been brought to Mathura, Mother Yashoda, being very anxious and angry, began to rebuke the king of Mathura. Burnt existential ecstatic love is divided into three, and one example is as follows. One day, Mother Yashoda was dreaming that the gigantic demon Putana was lying on the courtyard of her house, and so she immediately became anxious to seek out Krishna. And when there are manifestations of ecstatic symptoms in the body of a non-devotee, these are called dried-up symptoms of ecstatic love. The non-devotees are actually materialistic, but in contact with some pure devotee, they sometimes may manifest some symptoms of ecstasy. Devotional scholars therefore call these dried-up symptoms. There are 8 symptoms of existential ecstatic love: becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily colors, shedding of tears, and devastation. The scientific explanation of these 8 symptoms is given by Rupa Goswami as follows. When the vital force of life is in contact with the earth, one is stunned. When the same force comes into contact with water, there is the shedding of tears. When the same force comes into contact with fire, there is perspiration. When the force comes into contact with the sky, there is complete devastation. And when that force comes into contact with the air, then there is either trembling, failing of the voice, or the standing of the hairs on the body. These symptoms are sometimes manifest internally and sometimes externally. The pure devotee always feels such symptomatic expressions within him or herself, but being afraid of outsiders, one does not generally manifest them externally. Becoming stunned. The symptom of being stunned is caused by ecstatic tribulation, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, and anger. This symptom is exhibited by a stoppage of talking, a stoppage of movement, a feeling of voidness, and an extreme feeling of separation. Once, when Uddhava was describing Krishna's pastimes to Vidura, Uddhava said, "One day the gopis became stunned when Krishna, in the dress of a gardening maid, entered the greenhouse and enlivened the gopis with joking and laughter. Then, when Krishna left the greenhouse, the gopis were singing Krishna so ecstatically that it was as though both their minds and eyes were following Krishna. These symptoms signify that although the gopis' business was not finished, they had become stunned with ecstatic love. Another example of being stunned took place when Krishna was surrounded by various wrestlers in the sacrificial arena of Kamsa. Krishna's mother, Devaki, then became stunned and her eyes dried up when Devaki saw Krishna among the wrestlers. There is also the example of the astonishment of Lord Brahma. It is explained in the 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 56 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tato tikutu kod vritya stimi taika dashendriya tadamna bhud ajast tushni pur devi antiva putrika. When Lord Brahma understood that this cowherd boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Brahma became stunned. All of Brahma's sensory activity stopped when Brahma saw all the cowherder boys once again along with Krishna. Lord Brahma was so stunned that he appeared to be a golden statue with four heads. Also, when the residents of Braja found that Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand, they became stunned. Astonishment caused by lamentation was exemplified when Krishna was entering into the belly of the Baka Asura demon, and all the demigods from the higher planets became stunned with lamentation. A similar example of becoming stunned was visible in Arjuna when he saw that Ashwatthama was attempting to release his Brahma Astra at Krishna. Perspiring. An example of perspiring because of jubilation is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, one gopi addressed Radharani, "My dear Radha, you are rebuking the sunshine unnecessarily, but I can understand that you are perspiring only because of your becoming too lusty at seeing Krishna." Perspiration caused by fearfulness was exhibited by Raktap, one of the servants of Krishna. One day, Krishna dressed himself just like Abhimanyu, the husband of Radharani. Abhimanyu did not like Radha's association with Krishna, and therefore when Raktaka saw Krishna in the dress of Abhimanyu and thus mistook his identity, Raktaka began to strongly rebuke Krishna, who was in the dress of Abhimanyu. But as soon as Raktaka finally understood that it was indeed actually Krishna, but in the dress of Abhimanyu, Raktaka began perspiring. So this perspiration was caused by fearfulness. Perspiration due to anger was exhibited by Garuda, the eagle who was the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Once, the heavenly king Indra was sending torrents of rain all over Vrindavan. Garuda was observing this incident from above the clouds, and because of his anger, Garuda began perspiring. Standing of hairs on the body. The standing up of hair on the body was manifested when Mother Yashoda found within Krishna's mouth all of the universal planetary systems. Yashoda had asked Krishna to open his mouth wide just to see whether Krishna had eaten dirt. But when Krishna opened his mouth, Yashoda saw not only the entire earth, but also many other planets within Krishna's mouth. So this caused a standing up of the hair on Yashoda's body. the standing up of hair on the body resulting from jubilation is described in the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with the gopis engaged in the rasa dance. During this rasa dance, Krishna disappeared all of a sudden with Radharani, and the gopis began to search out Krishna. At that time, the gopis addressed the earth, "Dear earthly planet, how many austerities and penances you must have undergone in order to have the lotus feet of Krishna always touching your surface. We think that you must have been very jubilant, because the trees and plants, which are just like hairs on your body, are standing up so gloriously. May we ask when you first got these symptoms? Have you been enjoying this jubilation since the time you were touched by the incarnation Vamana Deva, or since you were delivered by the incarnation Varaha?" Krishna would sometimes perform mock fighting along with the cowherder boys. When Krishna blew his horn in this mock fighting, Sridhama, who was on the opposing side, felt his bodily hairs stand up. Similarly, when Arjuna saw Krishna in his gigantic universal form, there was a standing of the hairs on his body. Faltering of the voice. When Krishna was going to Mathura on the chariot driven by Akrura, Yashoda and all the gopis came to try to forbid Krishna to pass, and so they blocked Krishna's way. At that time, Radharani was so perturbed that in a faltering voice, Radha requested Mother Yashoda to please stop Akrura. Faltering of the voice resulting from wonder was exhibited by Lord Brahma. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 64, "Shanaya atoktaya vrimrijya lochane mukundam udviksha vinamra kandhara kritanjali prashraya van samahita Savepatur gadgadayai latelaya." After bowing down before Lord Krishna, when Brahma began to rise up, he prayed to the Lord in a faltering voice. And in the 10th canto, 29th chapter, verse 30, another example of faltering of the voice was exhibited by the gopis when they came to Krishna desiring to dance with Krishna. But Krishna asked the gopis to go back to their husbands and homes. The gopis apparently became very angry and began to talk to Krishna with faltering voices. And in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verses 56 and 57 of Srimad Bhagavatam, a faltering voice due to jubilation was exhibited by Akrura when Akrura was shown all of the Vaikuntha planets resting within the river Yamuna. When Akrura understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akrura bowed his head to Krishna's lotus feet and with folded hands began to pray in a faltering voice. There are also examples of faltering of the voice caused by fearfulness. One of Krishna's friends thus praised Krishna, "My dear friend, your flute was given to your servant Putri, and when I asked him to return it, Putri began speaking in a faltering voice, and his complexion became yellow." Trembling. When Krishna was trying to capture the demon Shankha, Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similar trembling of the body was exhibited in Sahadev, the younger brother of Nakula. When Shishupala was vehemently blaspheming Krishna, Sahadev began to tremble out of anger. Trembling of the body was also exhibited by Radharani out of tribulation. Radharani trembled as she told one of the gopis, "Do not joke with this disappointing boy whose name is Krishna. Please ask Krishna not to approach me, because Krishna is always the cause of all grief for us gopis." Changing of bodily color. Sometimes, due to great aggrievement caused by the dealings of Krishna, the body changes color. The gopis therefore addressed Krishna, "Dear Krishna, due to separation from you, all of the denizens of Vrindavan have changed their color. And because of this change of color, even the great sage Narada was thinking of Vrindavan as a white island in the ocean of milk." When Krishna and Balaram were present in the arena of Kamsa, Kamsa's body changed color. Similarly, Indra's face changed color when Indra saw that Krishna was protecting all the denizens of Braja by lifting Govardhan Hill. If the color change takes place due to excessive jubilation, the hue turns red. But because such a change of color is so rare, Srila Rupa Goswami does not further discuss this point. Tears. Out of jubilation, anger, or separation, there may be the pouring down of tears from the eyes. When such tears are very cold, they are due to jubilation. And when they are due to anger, the tears become hot. In all cases, there is a severe movement of the eyes, and the eyes generally become reddish. There is also an itching sensation, which causes the sufferer to rub his or her eyes. When lotus-eyed Rukmini, the first queen of Krishna in Dwaraka, was shedding tears out of ecstatic jubilation, she did not like the tears. And there is a passage in the Hari Vansha wherein Satyabhama begins to shed tears because of her great affection for Krishna. An example of shedding tears because of anger was exhibited by Bhima. When Bhima saw that Shishupal was insulting Krishna in the Rajasuya arena of sacrifice, Bhima wanted to kill Shishupal immediately, but because Krishna did not order Bhima to do so, Bhima became morose with anger. It is described that there were hot tears covering Bhima's eyes, just as a thin cloud sometimes covers the evening moon. In the evening, when the moon is slightly covered by a thin cloud, it looks very nice, and when Bhima was shedding tears on account of his anger, Bhima also looked very nice. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 60th chapter, verse 23, there is a nice example of Rukmini shedding tears of lamentation. For when Krishna and Rukmini were talking, Rukmini became frightened of separation from Krishna, and therefore Rukmini began scratching the earth with her red lotus-like nails. And because Rukmini was shedding tears, the black ointment from her eyes was dripping along with those tears onto her breasts, which were covered with kumkum powder. Rukmini was so aggrieved that her voice choked up. Devastation. When a person is confused by simultaneous happiness and tribulation and does not know what to do, this state of confusion is called pralaya or devastation. In this condition of pralaya, one sometimes falls down on the ground and all the symptoms of ecstatic love then become manifest. When the gopis were searching after Krishna, and all of a sudden Krishna came out from the bushes and creepers, all of the gopis became stunned, almost senseless. In this state, the gopis appeared very beautiful. So this is an example of pralaya, or devastation, in happiness. There are also instances of pralaya in distress. One such example is described in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verse 15 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, Anyascha tad anudhyana nivritashesha vrittaya navyajana imang lokam atmalokam gata iva. My dear king, when the gopis were missing Krishna, they were so much absorbed in meditation upon Krishna that all of their senses stopped functioning and they lost all bodily sense. It was as though the gopis had become liberated from all material conditions. Thus ends chapter 28, part 1 of Nectar of Devotion, entitled Existential Ecstatic Love. Recorded March 13, 2021 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the author, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Om Tat Sat.